Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had this thought. You read through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Of the four of those individuals, I happen to think John was probably the stingiest. Now, I say that for a very particular reason. When you read through the four Gospels, the Gospel of John stands out in a peculiar way. He records only seven of the miracles of Jesus. And he calls these miracles signs. And he saves, till the end of his gospel, his explanation for why he's so stingy with these miracles or signs of Jesus. He says at the end of his gospel, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but these things, these seven things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." So as we proceed through Lent over the course of these next few weeks, each one of these Wednesday nights, we'll gather together and we'll look at one of those signs that Jesus performed as John records it, and talk about what it means for us and how it points us to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So tonight's sign, it was the sign of the raising of Lazarus. And it's a fitting one, especially on Ash Wednesday, because on Ash Wednesday, we enter in and we receive the sign of the cross in ashes on our forehead, and we hear these words: "Remember, from dust you came, and to dust you shall return." Tonight, it's a reminder of our mortality. It's a reminder that in every one of our lives, we learn, and some of us from an earlier age than others, that because of our sin, because of the sinfulness in this world, suffering is a part of it, and so is death. So I want to give you a really brief story about a little girl who had an early encounter with suffering. She was about 4 years old, and she was out riding her bike. And as she was riding her bike down the street, her head hit a low overhanging branch. And she did what my four-year-old would probably do. She ran in crying to her mom. She found her mom in the kitchen. She said, "Mom, Mom, Joey hit me." Her mom turned around and said, "Honey, your brother didn't hit you. Joey's out shopping with his father." And the girl looked puzzled for a moment, and then in a bewildered voice she said, "You mean this stuff can just happen on its own? Bummer." And we have, all of us, shared experience. And it's that we understand life in this world because of sin, because of our own sin, and because of the sin of others. It involves suffering. And it ends for every one of us in death. Now, a lot of times, we take at least a small measure of comfort in being able to peg the cause of our suffering on someone else. You know, the person that rear-ends you or cuts you off when you're driving. But we also know that sometimes suffering isn't a result of the sin of someone else. Sometimes it's a result of my own or of your own. And regardless of who really is at fault, it doesn't really matter, because either way, we still have these same questions when we encounter suffering. Why is this happening to me? Why now? Why do I feel like I'm being singled out? I'm sure Mary and Martha had many of these same questions for Jesus when he arrived days late after their brother Lazarus had died. When Mary and Martha, when they did finally see Jesus, they had not really a question, but an accusation. Both sisters, Mary and Martha, separately, said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you'd been here, our brother would not have died." Think about that. If only you had been here, our brother would not have died. Was that a true statement? Yeah. If Jesus had been there, surely Lazarus would not have died. Even the crowd, when Jesus arrived, said much the same thing. "Couldn't this man who opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't he have prevented him from dying? They had this question, this accusation for Jesus. The real question for us that sits at the heart of the story of Lazarus and at the heart of Ash Wednesday is, why did Jesus delay? Why didn't he come in time? Now, Lent, and Ash Wednesday especially, it's kind of an odd day, an odd celebration in the church here. We grow up, and as little kids, our parents teach us over and over again to wash our hands, to keep our face clean. But Ash Wednesday, we come, and many of us, we receive ashes on our forehead, and we hear those words, "Remember, from dust you are, and to dust you shall return." It's not the most uplifting thing you can hear from someone else. The truth be told, we spend most of the rest of our days trying to ignore the reality of death, or trying to deny it. And I think the reason we do that is because for many people we have this thought of death as a final end to us. And unfortunately, even as Christians, sometimes we can fall into this bad habit of talking about death in the same way as non-Christians. As children of God, you know as well as I do that death is not the end, that death is not stronger than God, and that Jesus defeated death on the cross. And so, on Ash Wednesday tonight, when you hear those words again, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. When you think of death, you shouldn't think of it as a final end. I would encourage you to think of it a little bit like Jesus does. Now, earlier in the gospel reading for today, Mary and Martha, when their brother Lazarus had gotten sick, they sent word to Jesus. They knew that he was the only one that they could go to, the only one they could really turn to for help, and they did. They sent word, "Come quickly, because Lazarus, the one you love, is ill." But Jesus delays. He doesn't get right up and head straight to Bethany. He waits for 2 days. And after those 2 days pass, then he gets up and he grabs his disciples and he says, "Come on, guys, it's time for us to go because Lazarus has fallen asleep and I'm going to wake him up." Disciples were understandably confused. They said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, then he'll get better." And then Jesus tells them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there." That's an odd statement. "Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there." And then he adds the most important words to that statement, "so that you may believe." Suffering, when we encounter it, and death, are among the toughest trials that our faith will face. Mary and Martha, when they faced the sickness and then the death of their brother Lazarus, their faith was tried and tested as well. When Jesus arrived on the scene, and after talking with Mary and Martha, he went to the tomb and he asked for the stone to be rolled away. And then, looking into that tomb of darkness and silence, he cried out, "Lazarus, come out!" And Lazarus, who had died, who was asleep, was awakened at the voice of Jesus Christ. Needless to say, those who were there that day who witnessed that, for the rest of their lives, they would remember that moment. It was not a lesson that the early church soon forgot. Decades after the raising of Lazarus, after Jesus' death and his resurrection, when the Apostle Paul was writing his letters to the churches, he wrote a letter to the church in Thessalonica, and in a portion of that letter, he spoke about death. And in that letter, he said, "I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep. I don't want you to grieve as others do who have no hope, but as those who place their trust in God. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that Jesus Christ, when He comes, He will bring with Him all of those who have fallen asleep. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, it's true that when we suffer, our faith is tested. But it's also true that our faith changes how we suffer. It changes our suffering. So tonight, and on Ash Wednesday, when you hear these words, remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. As Christians, we hear that in a particular way. These ashes on your forehead, they weren't smeared in some random order. They were placed on your forehead in a sign of a cross. It's there at the cross that death and our experience of it was forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen.